What is up, business owners, entrepreneurs, and probably my grandma? This is Business Vibe. Today's business interview is with Mohammed Sueed, a freelancer that has done $300,000 by teaching people how to get their dream job. I hope you enjoy this interview and consider hitting subscribe. There are so many more business interviews to come. You don't want to miss any of them. Enjoy the interview.
Awesome. Well, thanks again for joining us. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself and your background?
Sure, Corey. So my name is Mohammed. I originally finished my master's in London at the London School of Economics. And right after that, I joined banking. And, for an international student like me, I was born and raised in Dubai. I went abroad from education. It was very difficult to, land a job. I had to apply to so many hundreds and hundreds of jobs to even get like a handful of interviews. And I found the whole process, very, very difficult. In the earlier stages, like before my master's, during the internships and right after, it was still hard, but I learned a lot about, writing a proper resume and how to master interviews and how to use top-down communication and these specific styles, and also how to network with, people like recruiters and hiring managers from different companies, send emails to them, send LinkedIn messages to them to get more interviews and just get the best job offer possible. So using my my new knowledge after I graduated, I landed interviews at McKinsey, Google, BCG, Oliver Wyman, a lot of great, Fortune 500 companies, consulting companies, investment banks, JP Morgan, a lot of these companies. I eventually went into banking and I was working in banking, but I felt burnt out and I didn't really think that it was for me. So what I did was I started freelancing on the side, helping people with their resume, giving them interview coaching sessions, and eventually, it became just snowballed into what I currently do now.
So you kind of just touched on what is We Are Career. And so can you give us a little bit more of exactly what you do?
Yeah. So we first started as Graduate Scope. So I was mainly helping, graduates and college graduate students to get internships and jobs. But I eventually pivoted to more mid-level professionals who are mid-30s, because they were just, a much larger market. So it made sense to target them. And we rebranded to Career, and the website is called wearecareer.com, but the company is called Career Enterprise. And in short, we just say Career. And then we basically provide three services at the moment. The first service is a career accelerator program. It's like a 3-month boot camp to help professionals, pivot, people who already have jobs, but they feel burnt out or they feel underpaid in their current job. We help them pivot into a better job with coaching and with done-for-you services. The next service is the resume writing service, where we have our, certified U.S. resume writers. They pair one-on-one. We pair them one-on-one with the customers, and then they basically help them revamp their profile, their LinkedIn, their resume. So that's there. And the third service are basically bite-sized courses. So I've just finished one course for now, but there's more to come. Courses such as landing your dream job course, career growth course, freelancing course. So there's a few courses that are relevant for people who want to level up in their career.
That's super needed, especially in today's high competitive space.
Yeah, it's a lot of people, they're not really super satisfied with the job they have and with how the economy is at the moment as well. The past couple of years, getting jobs is way harder than people think. And there's been a lot of complaints about ghost jobs and the industry being too competitive, many industries being too competitive, and their resume just going into some black hole and they never just hear responses back. And also, we also have, as I said, in the accelerator coaching, because a lot of people, they don't know how to frame themselves to get the best opportunities they possibly can. So whatever job you're doing at the moment is probably not the job that's paying you the highest, and that's probably not the job that helping you, be at your highest potential ever. So we help people realize that and get them to that stage.
So you kind of found validation through your own needs. What kind of validation did you find outside of your own needs when you were first freelancing?
Outside my own needs, it was more so other people's needs as well. So especially while I was doing a master's, when I was trying to learn, the whole 1 year, I was obviously just focusing on my master's program. But then I was also focusing, studying about, resumes, interview coaching, career coaching, networking, outreach, all these different pillars that go into job search as well as career growth, career development. Because a lot of people just think job search is only for people who who are unemployed and who are looking for their next job, but that's not exactly true. It's like half the population, they want to go into a better job. They want to pivot into a better job and they want career growth. They want career development. They want career advancement. So I like to focus on people who want career advancement, career growth, less so for job seekers, unemployed people, because for them, we have free resources, right? We have free resources such as templates and writing guides, because for them, it's not a high priority to spend their cash. So everything's for free for them. And for people who, you know, they're busy at their work, they don't have time, but they just want that, you know, faster pathway to better careers, better jobs, we have paid programs for that. And outside validation, as you said, it's like a lot of friends of mine, they reached out to me. They saw that I was getting a lot of interviews, you know, in my final year. And they're like, hey, how do you get these interviews at multiple Fortune 500 companies? How do you get interviews? Because, you know, some of the companies, McKinsey, Boston Consulting Group, extremely competitive companies. And I went to, you know, all of them. And so they were like asking. So I offered to help them with their resume for free because they were just friends at the moment. So it's okay. So, but eventually realized like they referred me to like their siblings, their friends, their cousins. And like, I eventually got a lot of people asking me. So I was like, hey, I think I should make this something paid. And I also started to freelance. So I joined Fiverr and Upwork. And that is still my main source of income. So
this sounds kind of like organic growth all the way. You found the need and then you helped friends and then you found more and more people and it compounded and grew organic.
Yeah. I mean, when I first started, I would say like end of 2021 is, so I finished my master's 2020 to 2021 that year. I was in banking for about 4 months and then I quit my job. So it was very short. And a lot of people, you know, they tend to have that initial, I would say, objection because of my age, because I just turned like 26 a couple of months ago. They're like, hey, you know, you're helping professionals, mid-level, executive level, get jobs, like, what do you know about the market? And I say, it's not my age that defines, you know, what I know and what results I get. Look at my track record. And I've helped more than, I would say, from the website, totally, I would say about 10,000 people. Most of them were like customers and some of them were, you know, they joined, they just had like got access to the free resources. But I would say total over 10,000 people. And most of them was like through freelancing, which I will touch upon, as you asked the question.
For sure. Moving from freelancing to kind of building career as a platform, how did you fund building that?
Yeah, great question. So initially, as I said, after 2021, I joined Fiverr initially. That was the first platform I joined. I built a profile there. And at the start, you know, it was very slow. I was just getting a few customers. But I also, because I knew how to write, you know, such good resumes and help people and coach them, I was doing a lot of the work and people were just getting results. I was getting a ton of referrals and I grew faster on the platform. So yeah, I mean, I just went into the freelancing path and for past 2.5 years, like it just became a very busy operation. I was working with more than 200, 300 plus customers every single month. So I did get some assistance as well. People who can, you know, co-help me with the tasks and with helping the writing the resume. And yeah, so my main focus was to scale the freelancing operations, both on Fiverr and Upwork. And what happened after that was I started seeing some problems with freelancing because in the end of the day, you are a profile on a platform. So it's not always going to be, how do I say, safe to stay on there because you don't have that personal brand. You know, they can always just say, you can always just get less leads, less traffic to your freelance profile because of a platform update, because of more competition, you know, which is, you know, there's obviously competition outside, but when it's on the freelance platform, it's like hard to figure out who's better and who's not because every profile looks similar. They're all in like separate cards. So you can't have the power of your website and your marketing to really stand out. So you know, I saw like my revenue started like fluctuating a little bit. So now I'm focusing more on my website.
Maybe if we could dive into a little bit about how you started on your freelancing journey, because, you know, a lot of people want to do that themselves. What was that like getting your first customer through these freelancing platforms and how'd you kind of differentiate yourself?
Initially, when I started, like, as I said, it was very slow. I'm not from the US per se. I wasn't born and raised there. I have a lot of, most of my customers are US, so I'll tell you how I was able to transition into that market. Most of my customers initially were coming from UK because I have that background. I studied there for 5 years. So I did my bachelor's and my master's there. A lot of customers from the UK. And then I had a couple of friends and referrals coming from the US. Slowly just started getting more results. And because the US is a bigger market, naturally I started getting more traffic from US customers into my freelancing platforms. And yeah, the initial traction, you know, just getting the few customers, it's like huge dopamine rush. It's you're making money online. I was working from home, remote. The hours were brutal at the beginning because I was working in my banking job. And like the last 2 months at the job was like the time when my Fiverr started picking up and I started getting a lot of customers. And I was working probably 15, 16, 17 hour days. So it was very, very brutal in terms of workload. And I felt burnt out, but it kept me going. I was like, wow, like, you know, I'm making money online. Something's working. I'm just going to keep, you know, trying this out and keep going at it. I eventually had to quit my job and focus on the freelancing.
That's great. You said something that I'm curious about, that you service people from other countries. With you servicing people from, you know, different countries and that, is it kind of the same thing as far as helping people get jobs, or is there different aspects to other countries?
No, it's mostly universal because if you think about it, most people that I work with that, you know, that message us, inquire for our services, they're, as I said, they're not like unemployed. They're not, you know, actively, they don't need to find a new job. It's more so they're just looking for better opportunities. Like, hey, I need a resume update. I'm getting a referral. I'm trying to look for new roles. I'm trying to level up. So, you know, that's what most people are. And the other, like I would say 30% are people who just got laid off or need help with their resume, and they have no clue what to do. And even if we tell them like, hey, there's free resources, you can do it yourself, they're like, no, I'd rather pay you. The price is fairly affordable, so it's okay. And yeah, I mean, even if it's US, even if it's UK, Australia, Canada, the standards are pretty much the same. Like, you need a professional resume, the types of jobs, recruiting processes, the technologies they use, the, you know, the structure they have, recruiters, and how everything works, pretty similar. So it's completely fine.
Moving into like the marketing and sales aspect of this, you mentioned going from kind of that helping friends out to then going into paid. What was that transition like? How did you get your first paying customer?
First paying customer was just from referrals from friends. And at this time, I didn't really have a website or anything. I just had a couple of friends saying like, hey, my friend, he writes really good resumes. He has some good, you know, skills on like coaching, you know, get a session with him. He just does this on the side. So I was just charging, you know, not much, like $50, $40, $60, just on the side for a couple of people. And then, as I said, I started getting like a couple of leads, a couple of customers a month. And I was like, hey, this could be something worth exploring. And obviously at that time, I had no idea like how to build a website, how to build a domain, nothing. I had zero knowledge. So I thought the safest way for someone who, you know, who's occupied in a job, to just start freelancing, because everything's pre-built for you, right? Fiverr, Upwork, they have like a pre-built platform, pre-built, you know, profile template, or, you know, everything's done for you. So you just have to fill in the gaps, put in your name, put your picture, describe yourself, your experiences, and you can link like referral, you can link like reviews as well. So I got like some of the customers I had, linked their reviews. And yeah, I initially priced it like at Fiverr and Upwork, because it's such a competitive environment, I had to price it at like $10, $15 at the start just to get this ball rolling. Eventually, I went to $20, $30, $40, $75. Now I can comfortably charge $100, $150 because of my track record.
And if you don't mind us talking about revenue, maybe like you can touch on what a freelancer makes for revenue, maybe what career makes for revenue.
So an average freelancer, let's say on Fiverr or Upwork combined, usually they have about, honestly, like $1K, $2K a month. Because most of them just do it on the side, right? It's not like their full-time thing. But freelancing doesn't just have to be Fiverr or Upwork. There's a much better way to freelance, which, you know, as I'm progressing, I'm learning more and more, which is what I'm trying to kind of evolve into now. Not just a freelancer, but more like a platform, like an agency owner. And I'll tell you what that means. So a lot of people get stuck in that rut of just being a low-level freelancer taking on side projects. But the better way to freelance is to have your own brand, right? So if you were able to go on Instagram, on TikTok, build your personal brand and sell like digital services, sell online services, coaching, whatever it is, you can start making 10K, 15, 20, 30K a month. So the average freelancer actually makes about 50K a year approximately because they're the ones who have like a personal brand. It's more like they're like a one-man business, one-man agency. Those freelancers make about 90K a year. But the traditional Fiverr, Upwork platform freelancers, they make about 90K a year. And the difference between them is the one who makes 90K a year just knows how to use their personal brand on TikTok, Instagram to get customers organically. The other person who makes 20K a year on average just has to rely on the platform. I was in that bracket, like in that 20K bracket, but because I was like a top 1% of the freelancer in that in those platforms, I made a lot more.
Coming to the end of the interview, kind of your own advice for entrepreneurs and your own insights. There's a question I like to ask everybody, and that is, what was your childhood like? Were you always wanting to be a business owner?
Excellent question. I think this is probably the best question you asked. Like, it makes me think very insightful. Okay. As a child growing up, I mean, my father, you know, had like a difficult childhood. Seeing him becoming who he is probably gave me a lot of inspiration. He, you know, he was like half orphan and came from a very poor background in India, relocated to Dubai and started a family there, started his career there. And now he's like a successful entrepreneur. He has his own business. And he did that when he was like 45, 50. So I was like 10 or something. And yeah, so initially, like, I just liked solving problems. I liked gaming. I liked things that I didn't really like to go out and about, if you know what I mean. So I just knew like I want to do something online, something innovative, something to do with technology, something to do with something in the digital world. I always knew that even when I was young. And I always knew that I wanted to be someone people look up to in a way that I'm offering something of value, no matter what it is. So even when I was in school, do you know what airsoft guns are, like toy guns? Yeah. So I saw that, you know, I was a big gamer when I was like 13, 12, 13, 14, that age. Do you know Modern Warfare, yeah, Call of Duty? Yep. So a lot of us were playing Call of Duty at school and, you know, there's like so much hype and, you know, excitement towards it. So I thought like, hey, a lot of people are interested in Call of Duty. They're playing games. Like, I could probably just like sell something that, you know, they could buy and make some side cash. So I started selling like airsoft guns and just, you know, these little toy guns. It doesn't really hurt or anything. And then I was just like selling this at school to students. I'm like, hey, Call of Duty version. There's like the UMP45, like the different models. I'd set it up on a private group on Facebook because obviously I didn't want other people to see, like my parents or like friend, like other people just in general. So I just had a private group and sent people like the members in that group were just people who are like fans of Call of Duty and stuff who are in my school. And they're like, yeah, I made like $500 just selling like $20 guns, like so sold to 25 people. It just started from there because I always knew I wanted to sell something. And then my biggest advice, as you said, figure out what you're good at and try to find a way to sell it. But like, you have to think of not only selling your time, but also like making it into a scalable product, a productized service, if you want to call it. I would say that is the biggest advice.
And that does, that answers my next question of what advice would you give to somebody looking to start their own business? It's so funny because I love asking that question about what was your childhood like, because I think 90% of the people that I've talked to are in the same category. When they were kids, when they were in school, they were selling things at school. Are there any resources, books, mentors that have significantly influenced your entrepreneurial journey?
Yeah, I mean, what I do to learn, to be honest, is mainly on YouTube, right? So YouTube is like a gold mine for me. I just look up to a bunch of creators. I can name a few and that have taught me. And this is more so in the past, I would say 6 months, because I'm trying to level up, right? So the initial stages, it was just a couple of YouTube videos on how to sell my resume services, what is freelancing and how to get started in freelancing. That's how I kind of got started on Fiverr, joined the platform. And then obviously I use YouTube, like how to make my Fiverr profile better, how to get more customers on Fiverr, how to get more customers on Upwork. Slowly just, you know, go from there. And, you know, that advice really helped me just establish a profile. And then everything else was just self-taught. Like from the experience, from, you know, lessons learned, from failures, from successes on the platform, then I was able to, you know, if you, because you said you wanted revenue, right? So I was able to, from the freelancing side of it and the career, and just the freelancing side of it, I would say, I was able to make about $300,000, okay? So the past 2.5 years, 3 years. And then from the website itself, probably $50,000, $60,000. So I would say almost like $360,000 in total. And, you know, as a freelancer, that is pretty good. But what I'm realizing is it's not going to really scale up from there, because you're always going to be limited to what you're on Fiverr and on Upwork or any of those platforms. And even if you have some referrals coming into your website, it's just always going to be in that range. And for me to go to the next level, I knew that I needed to learn and master marketing. So yeah, as I said, for the past 6 months, the resources that I was going for, instead of just the freelancing, Fiverr, Upwork, YouTube videos, now I'm looking at more like business advice, marketing, sales systems, recruiting people, you know, commission appointment centers, commission salespeople. I'm looking at, you know, how to, you know, increase the pricing, structuring programs, a lot of tools like this. And I would say the three people I really like are, I'm not sure if you know this person, I think you might, Alex Hormozy. Big fan, great content, kind of broad, so that like we can pick like which videos to watch. Second person I really like is Sabri Subi, Australian digital marketer. He's done like 7 billion for clients, very, very good. And the third person I really like is someone called Alex Becker. I'm not sure if you know him. Again, he's like an entrepreneur, he is a marketer. And he just gives like very raw, authentic advice using diagrams. So yeah, these three people, you know, they've taught me more about like funnels and advertising. And I'm slowly getting into that and I'm starting to see some results. So yeah, I'm just stoked to see like how far I can scale this thing.
So that's amazing to get out of your comfort zone and be self-aware and knowing that you've kind of reached your ceiling. And how do I break through that to get to the next step?
Yeah. And just to add, The past year, like I just because you said resources, initially started freelancing resources just to get the freelancing profile up. Then because work was coming a lot and, you know, I had like one assistant to help me, I didn't really know what the hell I was doing because I was still working like 10-hour days, 9-hour days, you know, minus the job, obviously. So because I didn't have the job, I still had to do the freelancing, still working 8, 9, 10 hours a day. I didn't really know what I was doing. And then that's when I came across, you know, like, just reading and watching YouTube, learning about like operations, systems, using tools to like automate tasks, customer service, collect customer information automatically. So I implemented these things. I added two more assistants. I paid them, you know, a small commission on each order. And then I was able to just, now I probably work about, on the freelancing side, I probably work about probably like 8 to 10 hours a week. So it has really minimized the time I focus on freelancing. And now I'm just using all that time to just scale up the website.
Good for you. So with your systems, you were able to go from full time to now 10 hours a week.
Yeah, it is pretty much passive. But as I said, I'm always kind of like aware that it can fluctuate. Like I've had months where it has fluctuated to like 17, 18K a month. And then it has fluctuated to like 5K, 6K a month. And then it goes back to like 10, 12. So it's like, it's very, you know, it's good, but it's still this. But if you have your website, if you know how to buy your own traffic and get your own audience and get your own customers, you can always just keep scaling upwards and upwards. And that's the position I want
good
to be in.
Good for you, yeah. Avoid that feast or famine to try to grow something bigger. That's amazing. So kind of in conclusion, at the end of the interview, where can people find out more about you?
So they can follow me on LinkedIn, just my name, Mohammed Sawait. And they can also, yeah, I would say mainly LinkedIn. Because like I have Instagram, but it's just like a private account. I am starting, you know, a new career related personal brand account on TikTok and Instagram, but there's nothing really there yet. I will start posting soon, but my LinkedIn is already pretty optimized, so they can just follow me there. You know, they can find me there.
Thank you, Mohammed, so much for joining us. It was awesome to talk to you. I appreciate it.
Great talking to you too, Corey.